Well, Nita, it's been a long time since the Jewish News had a fresh look. And as you said, this week we've relaunched the newspaper. It's a brand new look with brand new sections, more in-depth articles and analysis, and an easier-to-read format. Our readers were a little bit puzzled this week at the news agencies when they picked up the paper and realized it was different. It may look different, but at heart, the Jewish News is still the same newspaper with the same values as when it was founded 122 years ago. We speak to and for our community. We strive to inform, campaign, shine a light and provoke debate and celebrate all that is good and lament all that is bad. We seek to unite and instill a sense of pride, a newspaper that holds those purporting to act in our interests, both within and outside our community, to account. A very exciting time for the Jewish News, and we hope all our readers enjoy the new look.
Oh, it is a beautiful new look. I'm sure that before you launched the new look, you searched and you thought very, very carefully about it. How long ago was the last relaunch?
Well, Nita, it's been a little while. It's taken several months to get this redesign launched. It involved considerations, including with our readers. We did an in-depth readers survey asking readers what they liked, and we've striven to enhance the reader experience, which means giving more of what you like and less of what you don't, and presenting it in a way that reflects contemporary reading habits with greater focus on and detail in the stories that merit exposition and analysis, with less padding, fluff and waffle in the stories that don't.
Oh, well, good luck with that, because I really think it's beautiful and very easy to read. I enjoyed myself the new look, I must say. And now we go to the most explosive news of the week. The Jewish day schools in Melbourne, I think the parents are getting worried. A teacher was charged for child pornography.
Yeah, that's right, Nita. This story has sent shockwaves throughout the Jewish community in Melbourne and across Australia. Victoria Police are working with Bialik College in Melbourne to identify students who may have been photographed by a former teacher who has been charged with making child pornography. Now, this teacher, a 52-year-old man, worked at Bialik College until 2015. He then moved to Mount Scopus College, where he worked until he was suspended last week. Now, in an exclusive interview with the AJ, Bialik Principal Jeremy Stowe-Lindner and Mount Scopus Principal Rabbi James Kennard explained what happened and how they dealt with the issue. Now, the teacher left a hard drive at Bialik College when he left the school. It was only during an audit 2 weeks ago that the offending material was allegedly discovered by staff of the school, and the principal said that his immediate reaction was to tell the police and the Victorian Institute of Teaching, and also Rabbi Kennard, who's the principal of Mount Scopus College, which suspended that teacher. Now, there is an investigation ongoing. Charges have been laid, Nitsa, and as I said, we'll be watching this story very closely.
So we are talking to Evan Zlatke, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Evan's talking about a teacher that was charged for child pornography. He was teaching at Bialik College, and then he moved to Mount Scopus. What subject was he teaching?
Well, Nita, he was a media studies teacher and quite well known at the school. So obviously this sent shockwaves throughout the community, with students and parents alarmed and shocked to find out the news. The schools acted very swiftly. They worked together to put the safety of their children ahead of institutional reputation. So Mount Scopus has been working very closely with Bialik College. All the parents were informed immediately. Letters were sent out to parents. And as I said, charges have been laid by Victoria Police, and there will be a court case upcoming.
And talking about Jewish day schools, in the federal budget, there is a $10 million boost for Jewish school security.
Yeah, that's right. This was all announced in last week's budget on Tuesday night. Jewish schools are expected to receive nearly $10 million in the latest rounds of security funding for educational institutions across Australia. Now, the federal government announced that $18 million over the next 3 years has been allocated to continue the school security program. In the last allocation of the program, 55% of the money allocated by the government was awarded to Jewish schools. Based on that figure, figure, 9.9 million would be used to secure Jewish schools in Australia. Now, Stephen Rothman, who's the co-chair of the Australian Council of Jewish Schools, said this is a huge announcement for the community. He said the Jewish schools are extraordinarily grateful to the federal government for this extension of the program, and particularly to the work of Josh Frydenberg on behalf of schools generally and Jewish schools in particular. So a big boost for our schools, $10 million for their security.
Evan, we're all talking about the property market, Sydney, Melbourne, other cities around Australia. I wanted to ask you about a different type of property, not the property market we are familiar with, talking about Jewish cemeteries. And I believe the Jewish community is running out of space.
That's right, Nita. The shortage of cemetery space facing the Jewish community has reached a critical level, and it's actually due to run out within 6 years' time. And as we revealed this week, Sydney's next Jewish cemetery could be located near Penrith. As I said, as it stands, the Jewish community will exhaust the remaining gravesites at Rookwood in 6 years, but the Rookwood Cemetery has just announced that it's hoping to purchase new land in Malgoa, which is near Penrith, to extend the cemetery. The CEO of Rookwood Cemetery says that they've been in existence for 150 years, and through that time our land has been diminishing. We need to make sure that we secure further land for those communities that need burial space.
We are talking to Evan Zlatke, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Evan, we always talk about the Jewish community in Sydney or in Melbourne. We forget that there is a Jewish community also in Queensland. And I found the article in the Australian Jewish News this week celebrating 150 years of Jewish community in Queensland. Very interesting.
Yeah, very interesting indeed. The title of that story is Sunshine Shtetl. It's a very interesting article, Nita. Jason Steinberg, he's the president of the Queensland Jewish Board of Deputies, and he told us this week, from our small, humble beginnings as a Jewish community in 1865, we estimate to have grown to be more than 8,000 people in Queensland who have all played a part in making our state of Queensland great. So with Queensland Jewry now more than 150 years old.
Evan, it's a very big honour for an Australian to be honoured by the Israeli President Rivlin and the URA, and the honour this time went to Jack Smorgon.
That's right. He's a Victorian man, very well known in the community. Philanthropist and businessman Jack Smorgon was presented with the Israel Goldstein Prize for Distinguished Leadership by Israel's President Reuven Rivlin last week. Now, this award has been presented annually since 1980, and it's the highest accolade given by Keren Hayesod, UIA, each year. And it was given to Smorgon for his exemplary public service, civic activism, and dedication to Israel.
Evan, our guest today on the program later on is the playwright of a very interesting play dealing with the topic of Jews or Israelis playing Wagner. And there is a very interesting article in the AJN about the same topic.
Yeah, that's right. It's written by Vic Aladev, one of the former editors of the Jewish News. He's now the head of the Jewish community. He says that despite dying in 1883, Richard Wagner, the composer, is often associated with Hitler. The name ignites animated debate in the Jewish and the music world, a debate which can evoke anger and angst when those worlds collide. Vic Aladev asks, can one listen to Wagner with a clear conscience? Should one play his music in Israel? Can a composer who died in 1883, 6 years before Hitler was born, be damningly identified with his country's genocide of the Jewish people? A fascinating viewpoint.
Stay tuned to listen to our interview with the playwright of You Will Not Play Wagner with Victor Gordon later on the program today. Evan Zlatke, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News, thank you so much and have a great week.